This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
We said this last week or a couple of weeks ago. The Mayans are the only ones that don't follow the Mayan calendar.
Do you know what's supposed to happen?
Are you actually researched this time? Some kind of great earthquake or a tsunami or something.
What happened? Time just stops?
No.
Class is in.
This is Rock School, and I have a bit of a voice left. You can hear there's a bit of a growl in the voice because I was screaming at the television last night. We record this show on a Tuesday. It airs on a Thursday and all of that. So you're listening to it, what is it, 4 days, 2 days afterwards, or 4 days after the BCS bowl game with LSU's fine showing of it. Now, I'm a casual college football fan. The fan sitting next to me, Chad Pierce, is a... is your life going to go on after what happened to the LSU Tigers, or does it end here?
I'll be all right.
You'll be all right? All right. Well, let's go on and do a show here. This is the second of a twofer. We last week talked about the first half of the anniversaries of 2012. We talked about what? 1952, 1962, and 1972. Right. The anniversaries of those years. We're going to continue this and wrap up the years 82, 92, 2002.
We're on 82 today?
We're 82. You're alive.
Thank God. I'm alive. Right,
yeah. You've been alive for 2 years
at this point.
So these things probably stuck out in your head.
I remember everything in 1982.
I'm sure you do.
Are we talking about 82 the year or the album by Status Quo?
What was that? 1 plus 9 plus 8 plus,
plus,
2?
Plus 2?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good joke.
Yeah, see, it flew.
Is that on?
That's right.
It's on.
Can you hear me out there? Try the veal. In case you're wondering, 2012, if you follow the calendar years of the Chinese calendar, come the 23rd, which is Chinese New Year, it's going to be the year of the dragon.
Oh.
So if you have a kid this year, he is going to be a dragon. I'm a dragon.
Are you?
Do you have any idea what you are?
What?
You've never gone out to a Chinese dinner and actually gotten the rundown and you figured out the years of what you are in the Chinese calendar?
No. I have not.
Well, the rabbit is gone, and on the 23rd, we bring in the dragon. I'm a dragon. And it means that I don't know, breathe fire. So let's move along here. Let's go on to 1982. Let me tell you some of the things that happened in the world of music in 1982. On March 1st, MTV launches its I Want My MTV campaign. Wasn't the first thing that MTV did, but it's the one that I think was the first that really had impact on the world. Pink Floyd's The Wall comes out on August 6th, not the album, the movie.
The movie?
Right, starring Bob Geldof, and believe it or not, widely panned by critics. They hated it, which is weird because today, it's absolutely loved. People think it's, you know, wow, The Wall's coming on. It's this avant-garde, brilliant piece of cinematic what have you. But when it first came out...
That happens a lot, though. Terrible. It comes out, it's bad, and then it turns into a cult classic. It's so bad that it's good.
And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon. I knew it was great right from the beginning.
Just like that ball game last night.
And the one we're going to play, 1982. I'm sure you remember this being all 2 years of age.
Hey.
January 20th. At the beginning of his United States tour in Des Moines, Iowa, Ozzy Osbourne is playing...
Oh, I know what he did.
Somebody throws a bat on stage. He believes it's fake. He thinks it's one of those little rubber bats.
Look at that little toy.
What's he do?
He bit the head off of it.
He bites the head off of the bat. The problem was twofold. A, the bat bit him back. The bat, you know, if you're going to get your head bit off, you might as well.
I'm going down swinging.
That's right. Bit him inside of the mouth, and then he spit the bat's head out, and he threw the bat into the audience. Well, they couldn't find the body of the bat. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was a big search for the body of the bat. You know, I found a bat. Is it missing a head?
No.
That's not it.
That's not the right bat.
Apparently, the Des Moines is just
crawling,
crawling with bats. Couldn't find it, couldn't test it for rabies. Thus, he needed to undergo the full treatment. 30 long needle shots in the abdomen, right in the tummy. For rabies.
Yeah.
So if you're playing, this is just, you know, from Chad and I, if you're a musician, somebody throws a bat up on stage.
Throw it back.
Throw it back or just kick it right off the stage. So here you go. Ozzy Osbourne right here. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, Ozzy, no more tears. I wonder if he was crying no more tears after 30 shots in the chest.
Well, I think they're talking mainly about the shampoo.
Oh?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Didn't you just look up 1982 and Survivor's Eye of the Tiger came out in 82?
Sure did.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
How did I possibly miss
Madonna
that?
Madonna debuted in 82. She'll be performing the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to miss that. I'm already thinking of things I can do other than watching Madonna.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I think I'll bury my face in guacamole.
Wow.
You know, because it's the good cholesterol. That's what I'm interested in. May 15th in 1982. These are things that happened 30 years ago this year. Asia's self-titled debut comes out. I really like a lot of weird bands, and Asia's one of those. You either love Asia or you hate Asia. I love Asia.
Do you now?
I really do. Steve Howe of Yes, John Wetton of King Crimson and Roxy Music, Carl Palmer of ELP, and the Buggles keyboardist Jeff Downs. I love Asia. I even like their other albums that came out afterwards. I loved them. I've seen them 3 times live. 3 times I saw Asia. This is how sad I am.
I didn't know it was that bad.
It is. It is intervention. I'm going to come into the radio station. Sit down, Joe. We love you.
We want to talk to you.
Holding up Asia albums, you know. September 3rd, the one we're going to play. It happened 30 years ago, and I wish you can buy sections of this. In fact, I own 2 sections of this. I own the Triumph portion, and I own the Van Halen portion, but you can't buy the whole thing that I know of. The US Festival gets underway. Are you familiar with the US Festival?
I was 2.
Well, yes, but you also know Woodstock, and you weren't even around at Woodstock. The US Festival was something put on by Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. He paid for it out of his own pocket.
Really?
Decided to have a 3-day festival, and all of these days were set up. There was like a heavy metal day. Mm-hmm. There was a new wave day. Hmm. There was a something or other day. Paid for all of this. When he couldn't get Van Halen, he offered them more money than any other band had ever been offered, period.
Wow.
$1.5 million to do an hour and a half. Offered them that. They were off tour. Mm-hmm. They came out of that break and did 1 show, hour and a half, and it's really lousy because Roth is drunk the whole way through the show. David Bowie also, for a short while, held the record for the highest amount paid to a single performer for a single concert. So those are 2 records that came out of it. Most amount of money paid to a single performer, mm-hmm. most amount of money paid to a band. Furthermore, he also broke the record for the largest sound system at the time, 400,000 watts.
Good Lord.
Whole thing took place at the Glen Helen Regional Park near San Bernardino, California. In case you're wondering, did he make any money? No. Wozniak lost $12.5 million on the whole thing. So what? Guy was a multi-billionaire at that point in time. I think I'll put on a concert.
Yeah. I think I'll go jogging.
Yeah. For the US Festival, here is David Bowie, Golden Years, Rock School. Thanks for making fun of me off air. I got to do better research. I missed Ozzy Osbourne's marriage to Sharon in 1982.
And he TT'd on the Alamo.
He TT'd on the Alamo. You're right. I got to do better research. I got all the time in the world. I'm sorry, honey. I can't play with the kids. I have to do better research for Rock School. How about this one? October 1st.
Yeah.
Tokyo, Japan, 30 years ago in 1982.
Yeah.
Tokyo, Japan. Do you remember? Well, you'd have been two. You'd have been two. This test, forget this.
Well, tell
forget
me about
me asking you whether you remember. I remember when my vinyl collection basically died.
Uh-huh.
And compact disc became the thing. October 1st, Tokyo, Japan, Sony unveiled the compact disc.
Really? The CD?
It was called the CDP-101.
Wow.
That's when it came out. A player cost, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
$650.
Oh,
yeah. Well, the price came down. It goes on sale in Europe later that month and then the next spring in America. In America, you had to buy it under the brand name of Philips.
Mm-hmm.
I bought mine through Radio Shack. Now, I know Radio Shack today is kind of like, I don't want to go to Radio Shack. But there was a point in time where when you went to Radio Shack, that's where the new stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought mine at Radio Shack. Check. The first two CDs I bought were Van Halen 2 and Earth, Wind & Fire's Greatest Hits because I wanted the song September.
Yeah.
I really like Earth, Wind & Fire. The very first commercially available CD. Now, what a lot of people say is, oh, it's Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been the first one in the United States, but it wasn't the first one, period.
Mm-hmm.
The first commercially available CD was Billy Joel's 52nd Street.
I'm going to ask you a question after we get back talking about CDs and cassettes and all that.
Yeah.
As far as radio goes, because I know that your early radio stations, you played the vinyl.
Yes, I did.
You played, did you ever play 8-track?
Well, they were called carts.
Okay, you played the carts.
Played
vinyl.
Yes.
Did you ever spin your radio station off of cassettes?
No, you couldn't cue them.
You couldn't cue them at all?
You couldn't cue them. You need music to start right when you want it to start.
Gotcha.
Cassettes were almost impossible to...
But we used reel-to-reel way back in the day.
Only on what we called the Berthas, mm-hmm. which were the automated systems.
Gotcha.
Which were the automated systems.
Okay.
Yeah, cassettes were too hard to cue.
I guess I won't ask you.
No.
Sorry, just asked.
Guess we just asked. Mm-hmm. Here is Billy Joel from the 52nd Street. Yeah, big shot. Rex Cool. All right, first break here on Rock School. What's the year?
1982.
No, it's 2012.
Oh,
we're in
you
present
tricked
day.
Me.
I did. You tricked me. What's the big thing, supposedly, on 12/21/2012?
Oh, the end of the world as we know it.
Right, according to the Maya calendar.
Right.
We said this last week or a couple of weeks ago.
The Mayans are the only ones that don't follow the Mayan calendar.
Do you know what's supposed to happen? I did a little research into it.
Oh, you actually researched this time?
I'm going to smack you. I'm bigger than you. I will smack you.
Well, the end of the world, so I don't know, maybe some kind of great earthquake or a tsunami or something?
Actually,
something like the day after tomorrow?
Actually, neither of those things are expected to happen.
Well, what happened? Time's just stops?
No. It's actually the Maya long count calendar.
Uh-huh.
The date, December 21, 2012, marks the end of an era that lasted 5,126 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Maya, those that understand the calendar, basically state that only a change is coming. Nobody who understands the calendar say that the world's going to end. It's a new era. Some kind of change is coming.
The end of the world?
No! A change is coming.
So somebody took a change and interpreted it as doomsday.
Right.
And now everybody's freaking out.
According to those who have interpreted it as a change, here are the things that can go wrong.
Oh, okay.
On the winter solstice in 2012, the sun will be aligned with the center of the Milky Way for the first time in about 26,000 years. This means that whatever energy typically streams to the Earth from the center of the Milky Way will be disrupted at 12/21/2012, that's the year,
mm-hmm.
At 11:11 Universal Time, and supposedly that's going to do something terrible. Okay, that's one scenario.
You know, when you serious read, you read really fast.
I know, I like it.
what else?
It's like the end of a car commercial,
right.
TTNL. There's another one. The Earth is going to collide with a black hole known as Sagittarius A. which hasn't opened yet, by the way.
Oh.
But it's already got a name.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, not being pregnant yet, but coming up with names. When
gotcha.
We get pregnant, his name will be Bob.
Got it.
A passing asteroid will hit, that's another one, or we will hit a new planet that's coming by, and the planet's name is Nibiru.
What do you mean we'll hit a new planet?
Apparently,
while we're moving, we're
right,
jet streaming right now.
The planet's just going to sort of appear and hit us.
Ah, okay. Out of the black hole, Sagittarius A.
Right. According to mathematical models, there's going to be an increase in the flux of Oort, O-O-R-T. That's a cloud of comets coming into the inner solar system. That's going to increase by a factor of 4, leading to a massive increase in the likelihood of a devastating comet impact.
Huh?
Hmm. And there's one more here. There's an idea tied to 2112 that involves a geomagnetic reversal, oftentimes incorrectly referred to as a pole shift by proponents. That's what I always call it. Possibly triggered by a massive solar flare that will release energy equal to 100 billion atomic bombs. One of those things is apparently going to happen, but not
one
according to the Mayans.
Oh.
Nobody knows which, but one of those are. So goodbye, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show.
Goodbye, KSEO. Actually, no, that's where I'm going.
Because that's what will survive.
They're ready.
That's right. It's like
Shreveport, Louisiana.
It's like the end of that Looney Tunes cartoon. The whole world will be gone except for one little clump of land.
Boy, you ever seen that movie, Shreveport. I Am Legend?
Yeah.
Right there, Shreveport.
Is that where it took place?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it looks a lot like New York City in Shreveport.
They just set it up like that.
That's right.
It's all trick photography.
Back in a minute. Rock School. Okay, let's leave 1982. Let's move up 10 years to 1992.
Oh, I know what happened in 92.
What happened in 92?
Well, Sting made an appearance on The Simpsons as a hole digger.
You jumped into our 7 days and 70 seconds, didn't you?
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's it. You're welcome. You know the first one there,
I thought
folks.
You were giving me some common knowledge here.
No, I didn't.
Well, everything, you need to do better research.
Everything. I'm going to smack you. Everything we talk about now is the 20th year anniversary. We're in 1992.
Good year.
January 16th, Eric Clapton tapes an all-acoustic set for MTV's Unplugged, spawns the single Tears in Heaven,
mm-hmm.
and for the first time, people learn the full story of his son, Connor,
mm-hmm.
who died the March before.
Great song, great album.
I'm not playing that song, but I am playing the one that became the major hit.
Ooh, I know it.
Do it.
Layla.
Layla Clapton, Rock School. All right, bottom of the hour here on Rock School. Mm-hmm. My name is Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Well, we were going to do 7 days and 70 seconds with new information, but Chad has given you the first one, so we'll let him
it's
read
1992.
It again. January 9th all the way through January 15th. Chad has Monday. Go.
Monday, January 9th, 1992.
Is it Sting making an appearance on The Simpsons as a hole digger?
You gave it away.
You gave it away 2 breaks ago. Go ahead, read it again.
Sting makes an appearance on The Simpsons as a hole digger.
He does?
Yeah.
Wow. January 10th, back in 1949, vinyl records were introduced by RCA. That was the 45 and Columbia, that was the 33 and a third RPM.
January 11th, 2003, Pete Townsend issued a public statement that he is not, repeat not, a pedophile. After he's linked with an internet child pornography inquiry, he did, however, state he was doing research into the topic.
Yeah, that got real bad after a while. January 12th, 1965, Hullabaloo premieres on NBC TV.
January 13th, 1979, the YMCA filed a lawsuit against those village people for doing their song YMCA, and the terms of the suit were not released, and the suit was later dropped.
Yep. January 14th, 1999, Metallica sues Victoria's Secret over their Metallica lip liner pencils. Really?
Those guys.
Seriously?
Y'all just can't be happy.
The band stated it was a trademark infringement. And then finally, January 15th, 1972, Elvis Presley drew the largest TV audience to that point in time with his live worldwide concert from Hawaii.
How come we didn't talk about that fact when we were doing 72?
I don't know, because I'm a bad guy. I do terrible research. February 14th. Wayne's World comes out. What?
Wayne's World.
And we were all annoyingly saying, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it over there. He's
oh,
down
yeah.
on his knees doing that kind of thing. And the one we're going to play, in Fort Smith, Arkansas, 19-year-old Sean Pierce Any relationship? Know anybody in
Cousin
Smith,
Sean,
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Guy, okay. Sean Pierce is arrested while walking home from school. The charge? Wearing an obscene T-shirt. He was wearing a shirt that he had purchased at the Van Halen concert earlier that week. It was for the Van Halen album For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Yeah.
The band, Van Halen, hears of the incident, pays Pierce's legal fee and the small fine that he is charged.
What's on the shirt?
For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Just that?
Take the first letters of the... For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
I got it now.
Good.
Okay.
There you are. Here from the album For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge is the song Right Now by Van Halen on Rock School. All right, we are way behind on time, so let me move along.
Maybe we could make that our code for dissing one another. Whenever we get mad at one another in public, we could just say, hey, for unlawful carnal knowledge.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Van Halen reference. We got two more here in 1992, and we're running out of time, so let me do them quick. July 18th, Whitney Houston marries Bobby Brown. And the world gasps. I remember when that happened. What? Huh? And the one we're going to play. October 3rd. Do you remember this? Sinead O'Connor guests on Saturday Night Live.
I know exactly what she did.
Comes out and sings a passionate version of Bob Marley's War.
Mm-hmm.
When she's done, she pulls out a picture of who?
The Pope.
And says, fight the real enemy, and then does this. Right. Tears it in half. She's banned for life from the show and a couple of times is booed off stage afterwards. Basically ends her career for years to come. Do you know what she is today?
A wife.
She's a priest.
She's a priest?
Yeah. Now, it's not quite in the Catholic Church. It's in an offshoot of it. But yeah, she's an ordained priest.
Not... I read an article on her just a few days ago. She got married and annulled the marriage in like 3 hours.
Right. Now, she's not in like the Catholic Church, but yeah, she's actually an ordained priest in some church or another.
Mm.
Here is Bob Marley and the original. This is called War on Rock School.
Until the philosophy which old one race superior and another inferior is finally...
All right, time for the second break here on Rock School. Let us move along into the last of our years. This will be 2002.
I was cooking along as a radio disc jockey at this
2002,
point.
2002, how old would you have been?
22 years old.
22 years old. So these you will remember.
Yeah.
You were doing radio, so will be ingrained in your
mind. Dude, I was
getting
ready to graduate from college with a Broadcaster of the Year award.
Wow.
And have no idea where I was going.
Yeah, you did go into radio, though. You you started selling immediately, didn't you?
I did some radio sales for a little while.
Right, you didn't go on air.
Nope.
10 years ago, February 9th, the first pop idol is crowned in the UK. They tried this new show where they decided to get people from all over the UK and have them sing and then have the audience vote on them.
Yep.
It's a massive success. The producers thought it was a good enough idea to expand and sold it to other countries, one being...
The United States. That's right.
They sent over a guy named Simon Cowell, and the very first American Idol was crowned later that year.
Do you remember her?
Oh, I have it on the piece of paper.
I know it.
Do you remember her?
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson, you're right. I'll give you one more, and then we'll take our break and get out of it and play a song. March 5th, MTV debuts... The Osbournes. It becomes the channel's highest rated debut with 3.2 million people watching. Sharon, Kelly, and Jack.
I watched it.
How many bleeps on average per episode?
Too many to count.
60.
60?
60 bleeps on average per episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. You run the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. Thanks, as always, for being part of this here Rock School Radio Network.
Get us on Facebook. Search Rock School Radio Show. We'll be back with somebody who died 10 years ago this year. 1 minute, Rock School. Coming out of the break, we're in the year 2002, 10-year anniversary, April 19th. this person from Alice in Chains is found dead in his Seattle home of an apparent drug overdose. Do it.
Lane Staley.
That's right. Here's Wood on Rock School. Okay, last break on Rock School. We just did poorly on time, so I've got a bunch of stuff from 2002. I'm just going to go through them. April 25th, Lisa Left Eye Lopez of TLC is killed in a car accident in Honduras.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, 2002 was a year of a lot of deaths.
A lot of deaths. June 3rd, the Queen rocks to celebrate her 50th year as monarch. I swear the woman is a robot. She holds a huge rock concert. What was really funny, Ozzy played, Elton John played, Joe Cocker, Tom Jones, Rod Stewart, blah, blah, blah. They all finished the concert by saying, God save the Queen!
Of course! What else would you say?
Yeah. June 27th, like you say, more deaths. The Who bassist John Entwistle dies at the age of 57 at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas. What else do I have here? August 17th, rapper Nelly does something that hasn't happened since the Beatles. He replaced himself at number one on the Billboard chart. His song Hot in Here falls to number two.
It's actually pronounced her.
Her?
Hot in Her.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. It falls to number two only to be surpassed by his own song Dilemma. On October 30th, Run DMC's Jam Master Jay is shot to death in a recording studio in Jamaica, Queens. The guy hasn't been caught to this day. Who did it? How do you go to a third floor recording studio, shoot somebody, get out, nobody sees, nobody knows who you are, and you're still away?
I don't know.
November 19th, Michael Jackson appears on a balcony in Berlin and dangles Prince Michael II over the railing while a little blanket covers his head. Do you remember that?
I sure do.
And the one we're going to wrap up on. December 22nd, punk icon Joe Strummer dies of a heart attack at his home in Somerset, England. He had left the Clash in 85, did a small stint with the Pogues. What makes this even more awful is that he had been in talks with Mick Jones, and the two agreed they were going to actually perform at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the next March, and then possibly get together and start doing music again.
That would have been sweet.
That would have been sweet. But it all came to an end on December 22nd, 10 years ago. So there you go. There's a wrap-up of many of the anniversaries that you're going to hear all the way through this year. You can either get out in front and tell people about it, or you can just be the guy who you don't like to play Trivial Pursuit with, and every time it goes on, you can say, I knew that! And we'll finish up with Joe Strummer.
The moral of it is you got to do better research.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and do your research.
Like I don't, apparently. So, should I stay or should I go? Here's a Clash right here. Class is dismissed.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?